celebrating the best of the best with the Big Sports Breakfast Legends.
This is how legends are made.
We have some Friday legend for you today. Played 350 games between 80 and 96 at one stage there. Well, for quite a period, held the game's record. So he played his first 4 years there at Wests, his next 13 at Canterbury. He won grand finals in 84, 88 and 95. 7 origins for the Blues, 8 tests for Australia. Won the Dally M in 83, the Rothmans Medal 84. Inducted into the NRL Hall of Fame in 2008, Terry Lamb. How are you, Terry?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
We're going very well, mate. Well, great mate. To have you on the show. Firstly, before we get stuck into your career, how are you enjoying the footy this year and who's impressed you?
I think Penrith, where they've come from last year, I think Penrith has impressed me. You know, they've ticked every box. They haven't got, I don't think they've got any injuries in the club, and I think they could go along with it.
Have you enjoyed the new rule bar? The instead of giving away a penalty, just the restart of the tackle count?
Yeah, Loz, I don't mind it. But a lot of the time it's on the first tackle, so it's not really it doesn't help anything on the first tackle. I just think if you give it away on the first tackle, give him a penalty. That's what I think.
Yeah, and Terry, what do you make of Trent Barrett now getting the opportunity to come and coach your great club?
Yeah, Clarky, I think Trent will do well for our club. Yeah. He's a footballer. He knows what he's doing. He's got a lot of contacts everywhere in the rugby league community. And, you know, we need a change, and the board made the change.
The thing I like about the Bulldogs, Bar, and you know this more than anyone, that while they have been, you know, getting beaten and they're on the bottom of the comp, they've tried extremely hard in most of their matches this year. They just haven't had the cattle, and, you know, hopefully that'll turn around.
Yeah, we haven't been far off, Loz. I think Melbourne, there was a bit of a blowout in Melbourne by 40 points. And the last couple of weeks have been pretty good for us. I think we're just missing that experience. That's what happens when you've got a young team. And, you know, I know Foz is trying his guts out, but you just can't do it by yourself. And I think if we can buy, we've got some money to spend next year. And if we buy people in the right positions, we'll go okay.
And going back to the start of your career, Terry, so you're a Canterbury junior, but the Bulldogs hesitated in signing you. So how did you end up at Wests? Who got you there?
Ken Jennels was my Jersey flag coach, and we won the comp in 79. He came over and from Western Suburbs in front of me, asked if I would like to come over for a trial. We went to Peter Moore, and we told him what was going on, and Bullfrog just said that you might as well go and play football because you'd only sit on the bench at Canterbury. And I went over and had a couple of games, and they signed me on a two-year deal. And then I signed again for 2 more years after that. So I had a great time at Western Suburbs. John Donnelly, Bobby Cooper, all the big boys over there. And, yeah, mate, that was my apprenticeship. And then I turned to the Bulldogs.
Yeah, massive loss for the Magpies when you left, Terry. But, mate, can you tell me, growing up as a kid, rugby league was always in your blood, but what other sports did you love?
I played cricket. I played cricket for Bastil RSL. I played that for about 10 years as well, and I went to the Willows after that, where the pub owner, Arthur Laundy, now sponsored the cricket team. So we got free beers after the game.
And it's funny, now Arthur's a major sponsor of the club again, the Bulldogs.
Yeah, no, he's done a great job with Craig and Stuart looking after the pub industry, and Arthur's going to look after the football club.
Do you remember much about your debut against Balmain at Lidcombe Oval Bar? You scored two tries in that game. Yeah,
I do, mate. I come up against Olsen Filipana, you know, and the only reason I played first grade, I played reserve grade the week before, but Peter Rolls and Peter Walsh broke their leg and one of their arms in 2 weeks. And I went from under 23s to first grade in 2 weeks, only from two people having injuries. And, Olsen Filipana's legs were huge, mate. They're probably the biggest things I've ever seen. But he was a great player, but, you know, we got the points that day.
You're a late replacement for New South Wales in 1981, Terry, and opposing Wally Lewis. I mean, what are your memories of just being called into that team at late notice and playing up against Wally in Origin?
Yeah, well, we played on a Tuesday them days, and I got rung up. I was at work in the gas company, and I got rung up on Monday morning to tell us that someone was crook, and I had to fly to Brisbane on Tuesday morning. I hadn't met any of the players until their lunch meeting at 12 o'clock in Brisbane. So had no training, no meeting anybody at all. And, yeah, that was a quite an interesting game.
Out of the 350 games, Terry, that you played, the one game that will always stick in my head was the
88 grand final.
Well, the Ellery Henley knockout. Yeah. What happened there? Unbelievable.
Oh, mate, the old story was that Ellery hit his head on a sprinkler.
How about it?
It's funny, you believe things when people tell you, and I probably hadn't seen the replay until I had to meet Ellery after 25 years. And I had a look. I looked at the game, and I really got him. Mate.
You got him all right.
These days, I would have been sent off for sure, and probably got 8 weeks. But I apologise to Ellery, and after 25 years, he just said to me, "Mate, let it go." Happened on the field. So, when Mal got me in 94, when Murray Daly was playing,
I can't remember that one, Bar. It's erased from my memory. But, Bar, can you tell us what it was like? Were you sort of, I don't know, were you nervous sort of meeting Ellery and what his reaction may be?
Yeah, 100%, mate. Absolutely nervous. I very rarely apologise if I've done something to someone and if it was on purpose, but it wasn't on purpose, but I did get him. Yeah. And I was very nervous meeting him, but, mate, he just pushed it under the covers and said, "Don't worry about it." Mm. And I was so happy when he said that.
Well, you had a couple of great years with Wes. How did moving back to Canterbury happen?
I was coming off contract. I was playing pretty good football. I won the Dally M trophy that year in 83. We got the wooden spoon. I got the Dally M player of the year. And I put myself in the market. And there was four clubs I could have went to. It was Canterbury, Cronulla, Eastern Suburbs and Manly. And the only reason I picked Canterbury, the money was about the same money. The only reason I went to Canterbury because it was closer to home. That's the only reason. And I was lucky enough to be in 6 or 7 grand finals.
And you had contrasting experiences in 84 and 85 at the end of the season, winning the grand final in 84 and injured for the 85 grand final. Must have been a great disappointment.
Yeah, mate. I missed two games all year, the major semi and the grand final. Mate, I still ran around and did the lap of honour. I also got a medallion as well. So, mate, for me, I played in that grand final, even though Michael Hagan took my spot, but I was all part of it, mate, so it didn't really worry me. I know that I was part of that team.
Yeah, you've played with some brilliant players, both against and with. Who are some of the greats that stand out for you, Terry?
Oh, me and Steve Mortimer, Turvey, we had a great combination together at Canterbury. We played with each other for 8 years, a few grand finals together. Me and myself and Andrew Farrer, Chris Mortimer, mate, I could go on. Jared McCracken and Jimmy Dimmick in the younger days.
Yeah.
The relationship between me and the players I've played in over the years is, they're lifelong friends, these players, and I always catch up with a beer.
What about rivals, Barb? Because I can remember watching as a kid, the Canterbury sides going up against Parramatta's and, you going up against Brett Kenny and Turvey up against Sturlo. What was that like? Because for me as a kid growing up, that's what rugby league was to me and still is.
I think it challenged you more than anything, Laurie. Coming up against Brett Kenny, Wally Lewis, Cliff Lyons, players in that calibre, it made you play better. And you knew you were in for a game. The teams themselves were pretty good teams as well. And you have to lift yourself. I remember when you guys, Laurie and Bradley Clyde, Ricky came in when Mal was there at Canberra. We knew we were in for a game at Canterbury, and we were a pretty hot team. And you knew every time you played against these guys, you had to fit in and you had to play the best of your ability.
Lost the 86 grand final to Parramatta, of course, Barra. I'm guessing I'm guessing it goes without saying that that team, that specific Parramatta team, were your toughest opponents.
Yeah, you know, we have one more play the ball. We probably score on the left-hand side. Tungsy and Buggo both went from dummy half, I think, by memory. But, yeah, I think we still win the game if we have one or two more play the balls and we score on the left-hand side. Yeah, they were incredible, mate. You know, they won in 81, 82, 83, and they come and win in 86. They win four grand finals in the 80s, and so do we.
What about after that grand final loss, though, Bar? You were selected to go on the Kangaroo Tour to England, and you played every game on tour. What was that like?
Yeah, mate. Well, the thing about it, I was always fit, but I virtually drank every night and every day. You know, when, as you know, Laurie and Clarkie, when you tour, you know, there's no in between. Yeah. And what we did, we trained and we played, and when we played and won, we celebrated, and it was fantastic just to meet, just to know the players after 2.5 months, like knowing all the Queenslanders where you had to play against them every year, and you'd punch the shit out of each other and all that kind of stuff. And then you meet them and live with them for 2.5 months was incredible, but just to know them.
Yeah. Do you, Terry, I ask a lot of retired athletes this question. Do you think you played in the right era for your personality? Like, a lot of people think now that sport has become a lot more professional, there's so much work off the field, and obviously there's a lot more money. But do you feel, for you, you played in the perfect era?
Well, I think so, mate. Yeah, I was a bit rough when I was younger playing back at Chester Hill. You know, you get in the blue every week and shake hands and you don't do anything about it.
Yeah.
These days, they don't even throw a punch these days. They get penalised for a crusher. I think, for me, Cameron Smith, I'm a big fan of Cameron Smith.
Yeah.
He could have played in the 80s. He could have played in the 90s. Just the way he controls the game, he could have played in any era, Cameron Smith. But I think I played in the right era with the right people at the right time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And You, when you grow up and follow the game as we did, when you start playing football in, I suppose, a certain year, you play that way, and that's the way we played it.
Was there a player or a coach, Bar, that had a massive influence over your career?
Well, my first coach was Roy Masters, so mate, there was face slapping and everything and all that kind of stuff at Western Suburbs. Mate, what I didn't understand about rugby league was you had to read your opponent. So he gave us all this stuff about our opponent, the 5'8 you played against, and you have to read, he stepped off his left, stepped off his right, did all this, and kicks over the top and that. I didn't realise how much was in rugby league. We just went out there to play football, and yeah, you really had to do your research on players, that's for sure.
And you stood down from rep duty, and people weren't happy, were they, Terry?
No, mate, they wouldn't let me play. Mate, I sat down on rep duties because my kids missed me when I went to England. So, for me, representative football wasn't as big as playing for Canterbury or Western Suburbs. For me, I was playing for the club I played with, and to win a grand final, that was my ultimate. But when you get to the state of origin and play for Australia, it's a different place. But I played for the team I played with.
Yeah, because you were selected for the 82 Kangaroo Tour, but you ruled yourself out because you were marrying Kim.
Married.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Well, mate, she wasn't going to wait for me. So, you've got to do the right thing and put a ring on her finger. So that's what I did. And, you know, we've got four beautiful kids later and got four grandchildren in 12 months. So everything's great.
You won again in 88, and this is probably asking, you know, what is your who is your favourite kid, but what do you think was the best team you played in out of your premierships?
I'll always say my first grand final. When I was younger playing at Chester Hill, I never won a grand final in my life. I played in one grand final, and that was in B grade, and I played at two divisions up. Never won a grand, so I'm going to say that 84 won my first one. And the last one in 95 when I captained the team was completely different as well, with all these young kids coming through like Dean Pays, Jimmy Dimmick, McCracken, all these young kids that I taught for the last 3 years. Try to be a footballer and, you know, enjoy yourself on the field.
Yeah, I think that was a magic year for the Bulldogs bar 95 because of, you know, Super League was happening, yep, and there was, yep, players that had signed for the ARL and the club was going to Super League and it looked as though it was split. To somehow the way, well, somehow you pull the team together, pull the players, the club supporters together and went on and win against all odds. For me, that was a standout.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, we had some turmoil at the time. You know, it was probably 4 weeks before the semis started. We struggled to make the semis. And I think it was against the Warriors at Parramatta Stadium. And they flogged us by 30 points. And we just went out in the drink and we did skirmish and we got out of the drink and we started talking about how our season was and where it should be. And then we got together and we were inseparable at the time. Everybody went with each other to have a drink. We just did everything together. We trained pretty hard. We didn't have a big drink until probably grand final. And yeah, when you've got problems, you need to talk about it. And we did that and it survived us.
I want to go back 12 months though to 94 and I guess pretty, yeah, early in that grand final. Loz has just puffed the chest out, but
please.
I guess pretty early in that grand final, you knew you were up against it.
Yeah, mate. Their team at the time was incredible. These young kids coming through with Mao, having his last game, winning the grand final. We had this young team. It started in 92 when Jeff Robinson's under-20s team won the comp, and we had all these players leaving the club. We had about 10 players, probably 1,500 games between them. And Bullfrog said, we're going to rebuild the club. And we rebuilt it with the under-20s. We had Jimmy Dimmick and McCracken come in, Hugh McGrady, Matty Ryan come in as well. So, and Mark Brockenshaw, and me and Brocky were the oldest players. So we needed to help these kids, you know, make a professional start out of rugby league. And they were Dean Pays. They were the Smith brothers. They were Robert Ralphs. You know, Craig Polamount, all these young kids, the Smith brothers, and we went through and, yeah, we did a good job. 93, we won a premiers. 94, we got beat by Canberra, and 95, we win the comp. Mm.
You told us earlier about how you and Ellery spoke about that tackle in 88, and Mal, you know, got you high in 94. Did Mal ever say anything to you since that happened?
You think I'd ask him, Lawrence?
No.
This is amazing because you're all scared of Mal, even to this day.
Oh, of course it's unbelievable. I was. As I've told the boys on the program before, we bag Mal behind his back, but we never do it to his face, Bart.
100%. Mate, on the Kangaroo Tour in 86, we had the big boys against the little boys, and Mal was on the big boys. So I went for Mal every single time. But he was so strong. At one stage, we had four blokes on him, and he just stood up and walked with us on his back and everything like that. He was incredible and strong. But, you know, that's what you got to do. You got to take the big bloke down. And Mao was one of them. Listen, with Mao, when he got me, I was falling. I was backing up Darren Britt. The ball was low. I went low to pick it up. And Mao just come over and got me on the chin. I was about 2 foot off the ground when Mao did it. And, listen, I got no problems with it. But I probably should have went off the field at that time and regathered myself at that stage.
How did you enjoy your time coaching at the Tigers there, Bar? Because you certainly walked into some, well, it was difficult times. Well,
yeah. You know, I probably got spoiled at Canterbury. I coached reserve grade for 3 or 4 years and I won a couple of comps there and I had some really good players in reserve grade. Then go to West Tigers and personality, mate. I wasn't used to different personalities, and you know, I didn't get on with a couple of them blokes, and they probably didn't get on with me either. So that was hard. That's the way it was. It was part of my life, and you know, the first year I coached, halfway through the year, we'll come in second in the competition. Then we lose Hopewadi with the finger situation, and then we lose Craig Fields and Kevin McGuinness through drugs. 2 years they got. So That's a big part of our team, Colin.
Look, Terry, it's just been great to chat to you, mate. Congratulations on all you achieved in your career, and thanks so much for being our Friday legend.
Thanks, gentlemen. Take care.